Blog Talk Radio.
Good. Oh no. Good afternoon. This is your host and minister for the evening here on Speak Your Mind Now Radio, here on Blog Talk Radio. That was CC Wynn's throne room, my prayer line, but we all need to pray every day, amen. Today we have a special treat. I have had the opportunity, the pleasure of meeting with a man who is in love with the Lord, his family, his church, doing wonderful things with his community, by the name of Pastor C.F. Warren. I met him on LinkedIn a few months ago, and I am glad to have known this brother, because as I came across his profile, I was very, I don't want to say the word impressed, but I was very glad to, and thankful to God that he's using him in his own way throughout his neighborhood. So I decided to ask this young man to, if he would give me the pleasure of doing an interview, and he said yes. That was like a few months ago, I believe. But thanks be to God, we have come together as today, and God has foreseen the possibilities of what this man would show to us through God's word. And we just thank God for the allowing us to come together. We thank him for allowing brothers in Christ to become as one. And I'm just elated and ecstatic to hear what this guy has to say according to his life, his family, his church, his pastorship, if that's a word. But just to allow God to use him in a mighty way, amen. So we will have a word of prayer, and we will hear the theme song for him. That I give everybody who I interview an opportunity to have a theme song for that they like to hear. And he has given me this song, and I, when he said this song, I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes, I'm going to use that song right there. So we don't go to prayer. We're just going to give God the glory anyhow. God, we just thank you and love you for who you are in our lives, God. Thank you for the things you have done for us. But we cannot forget how wonderful you have been to us, even though we have not been faithful to you. Lord, we ask you right now to forgive us of all our sins, cleanse us of all our righteousness. Because your word says even as we are at our best, God, you see us as filthy rags. But through your word, through your love, and through your patience, and through your son, Jesus Christ, who you allow to send to us on our behalf, to die on the cross, that we may be removed apart from the burning pits of hell. Decrease us, God, so that you may be increased, God. And we just ask you right now to do it in your way or in your way, because even though we don't understand you, God, but we must trust you, Lord. And for my life, God, I trust you with whatever you got going on in with me. Thank you for another day that I have not been promised, God. Thank you for my health, even though I don't like my health is going. But you said by your stripes, I'm already healed. And God, we just thank you for our lives. Thank you for whatever we got going on. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. After this song, the next voice you will hear will be the words of Pastor C.F. Warren. Amen.
The
to do. He can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to. God can do whatever he wants to do where he wants to, how he wants to. By what?
Amen, amen. Yes, he is sovereign. I don't care what you and I go through in life. On this side of heaven, God is going to be God no matter what we have to face. With me, my kidney disease, stage three, I don't care what stage I'm at. God is going to be God all by himself. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to go cry about it. But I'm going to give God the praise anyhow. Even though I have this disease, I am still alive and well. Amen. Pastor, wow, man. Thank you for that song. Are you there, Pastor?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine, man. Thank you for having me.
Man, no, thank you for allowing me to do this with you. I appreciate it. I know by your bio and your LinkedIn page, I'm like, he's awfully busy. So I thank you for allowing the time out of your schedule to come join us and do this for us. Man, what's been up with you?
I ain't nothing, man. I'm just trying to do the work of God the best I can.
Right, right. And, you know, like I said before, I thank you for picking that song because that song stuck with me when I was a kid. No, well, not a kid, but a young adult. And I had the opportunity of meeting Mr. Coley years ago with an auntie who's going on to glory. And I was like, man, this brother is off the chain. So as a young man back then, I can appreciate the work he has done for our generation, you know? So, yeah, thanks for picking that song for us. I love it. So,
it's one of my wife's favorite songs.
Oh, bless her heart. Tell her I said thank you. How's she doing, by the way?
She's fine. She's fine. Everybody's
cool.
Fine. We had a little sickness over the holidays, but we're fine. We're all bouncing back.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're going to do anyway, because he's sovereign. I can't explain no more than that. He's God's just sovereign. So, basically, what I do is I don't really like do a question and answer interview. I just ask the person I'm doing the interview with to tell us about the ministry that you're in, what has God done in your life, how did you come to Christ, if you want to. Were there any, hurdles or obstacles that led you to Christ? You know what I'm saying? So it's not like a question and answer thing, but I let the person have the floor, and by what they're saying, I may have a question myself, okay? So, hey, man, the floor is yours. You got it.
Well, I'm the son of a preacher, So I've been in church pretty much all my life, but I didn't want any parts of the ministry.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. Because there's so many people who use the ministry for their own personal gains. But this is nothing new because it occurred back in Bible days. And so it was torn because I knew the call of God on my life. My grandmother used to tell me that I should tell her at about 2 or 3 that I was going to teach and preach for the rest of my life. And so, but I knew in high school that God was calling me to preach. But again, because I was so in the church scene, you know, I knew there was a whole lot of things that I didn't want to do. And I didn't want to be associated with my name. And so I started running. And it wasn't so much as running from God, but running from the call. And so when I got in college, one night the Lord kind of pushed me to the wall, so to speak, and said, you can do it my way or you can do it your way. And I said, Proverbs 14 came to me and said, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it's death. And so I said, well, I'm going to choose your way, God. And I chose his way, and I've been serving him for pretty much most of my adult life. And I have no regret. I've had some good times. I've had some bad times. But in the end, I wouldn't trade them for anything.
Amen.
But I'm not your typical pastor. I've been pastoring 28 years, 23 at the last, my current location. And I'm not the typical pastor of a church because My only concern is the prayer and the ministry of the word. And there are other things I have staff members to do, and they handle, because I don't have time to do everything and pray and spend time studying. And like you said, I'm extremely busy because as bishop, you know, I oversee many, many churches. And I think we're up to 219 now. And I'm on four continents, not just here in North America. And I personally handle the teachings. So I'm constantly doing teachings, and I'm constantly writing Bible studies and Sunday school lessons and stuff like that. And my offer, I share. I have a weekly and a monthly devotion that I send to anyone who email must and ask to be on our list. And my wife and I also do a monthly men and women only, where we talk about being husbands, wives, fathers, and mothers. And so it's a lot going on. But all I, and you know, we have a prayer ministry and stuff like that. But I really just handle. I have a thing in Acts chapter 6:3-6, it says, Peter says, why should we leave the word of God in prayer to serve tables? And so I don't serve tables. You know, the word of God in prayer is too important for me to kind of spend my time doing other things where God can raise up other people. That's one of the big problems we have in the body of Christ. Preachers too much want to be the end-all and be-all. But that's not, you know, that's not how I feel. Because if you're in my church, if you're in the ministry God has given me to lead, then he sent you there for a reason. And we're only strong as the body as we allow the body to put forth this gift and calling that God has given.
Okay. What you said earlier, I mean, by my own life, about running from God. Actually, I did run from God when I got called when I was in my early 30s, and that was the second time. The first time, I was in my mid-20s, and I knew for me that if I accepted God's call to preach, I would be a hypocrite because I was still trying to run the streets and do my own thing. And a lot of us still doing that, even though we have been called and saved and washed in the blood of Christ to do our own thing, because we think God like that, which we really don't. But back then, I was like, you know, I was kind of in the scene of gang banging, you know, and I was an ex-blood, trying to sell a little dope, a little crack here. And we called me to preach. I wasn't ready to come out that lifestyle because I seen the money was too good for me to give up. And that's where a lot of preachers to this day have, and I know some personally, that the lifestyle they live is not equal to God, what he wanted them to do. You can't preach your word on Sunday morning and that afternoon go back in the world and do all kind of ungodly things. And that was my lifestyle back then. So my grandma, I am the second generation of preacher in our family. My grandma, she was the first, and she taught me a lot of things, although I was very hard-headed when she did it, but I thank God for her teaching. And now I can say, Grandma knew what she was talking about. And I had to stop running. And the second day he called me to preach, I said, you know what, God, you have your way. I'm done. I'm tired of running from you. And, you know, I don't know, a lot of friends of mine say I may be the same kind of person, but they do see a change. They see a different aura, if you will, about me. I'm not as angry as I used to be. You know, and I'm not the kind of person who claims to be perfect. I'm not. I mess up every day of my life. I'm first can't tell you that. But I'm like you. I thank God for the sovereign grace he's put on my life to say, yeah, you messed up this time, but I still love you. So,
well, yeah. Let me share something with you. There are only four perfect chapters in Scripture. The first two, Genesis 1 and 2, and the last two, Revelation 21 and 22. Everything else, the world is touched by sin. Unless you were in those chapters, beginning and the end, then it's a sinful chapter. And the one problem we have today is what I call inauthentic Christians. And I say that is because we have a good profession. You know, we say the right thing. But if we were living as well as we say we're living, there's no way in the world that you can convince me that the tide that the devil has planted in our community, in this country, would have the upper hand. So I'm convinced that people say one thing, and you have to kind of, one thing that I learned a long time ago, my grandmother used to say to me, son, somebody somewhere is always watching. And so it took me a long time to understand what she was talking about. But if I live differently around you, then how can I expect you to hear a word from me? If you see me living a different way than what I profess, then how is that going to impact you for the kingdom of God? And so you got to always remember, somebody is watching. And even if nobody physically is watching, we know that the sovereign, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God is always watching. And so if we live in accordance with that, if we live our lives knowing that one day we're going to have to stand before him and give an account, I think we'll live differently. But I'm convinced that most of us really don't think that God is who he say he is in his scripture. Because if we did, we'd have to do things different. And so I'm teaching through the book of Acts right now. And you talk about your past. I don't have a dramatic conversion experience. You know, mm-hmm. I've always been a pretty much good guy. You know, I'm a mama's boy. And I mean, I got some dirt on me, but I've never been one that's been staying out in the dirt. I don't like to be dirt. And so I think that was because I knew the call of God on my life at such an early age. I don't want to do those things. But I got some dirt. But that's the one good thing about God. He saves us despite our dirt. He knows we're dirty. The book of Romans tells us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so to pretend that we don't have sin, it's got to be one of the things that Jesus really gave a hard time during his earthly ministry. He was hard on the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. And I wonder what his word would be to our day because of our hypocrisy. I don't think it'll be praise, and I think that's what we have to come to grips with. And so I've always strived to be open and honest, and to tell folk that I'm not the one. You know, don't look to me for perfection, but God saves in spite of it. In fact, my definition of grace is God's presence working in me to improve me in spite of me. Did you hear that?
I'm here. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So that's why I say I don't need to pretend to be one thing when I know I'm not, because God knows.
Wow. I think we had a caller wanted to ask a question. Would you mind taking the caller's question if they have one or a comment?
No. Okay. I'm on your dime.
Okay. Caller with area code 701, do you have a question or a comment to say?
Oh, hi, good evening. I was just listening, and I wish I had called in sooner, but I just wanted to thank you both for this message, because it's really, truly inspiring. And you were talking, Bishop, about inauthenticness a minute ago. And I just wanted to share that, you know, my father passed away of a drug overdose. But he was functioning for quite some time, so-called functioning, for quite some time, during my early childhood years of development.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a chance to see the residue that drug abuse leaves behind, how it destroys families, how it affects and impacts the families, that sort of thing. So, you know, I did it my way for several years and worked as a secretary and, you know, was just going through life, not realizing the residue was on me as well. Not in the form of an addiction, but just the learned behaviors that I saw mm-hmm. over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So I had called out to God and I asked God, you know, how can I serve? I just kept asking that question. How can I serve? How can I serve for the greater good? How can I serve? You know, and I was getting ready to go back to school at the age of 40. And I said, okay, now I do not know what direction to take. You know, all the different majors that you could major in. I don't know where to go, what to do. So I still kept asking God, please provide me some direction. And he said, well, I heard this clearly. I want you to help people with addiction. And I said, oh, no, I'm not. Oh, no, I can't do that. You know, sorry, that's my little puppy. I said, oh, no, I can't do that. Those people are crazy. And then clearly I heard, is that how you felt about your father? And I had no words to say other than I surrender. And then from that day forward, I started, you know, the school. So interesting how God works. The university that I was attending had an addiction studies program. I didn't even know they had it.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, I'm in the field working as a counselor. I got my bachelor's of science degree, and I also went on to get my license in the field as well. So I'm licensed by two states. You know, my challenge has been incorporating God within my counseling, you know, being allowed to talk about God without restrictions, and making about the patient who's suffering and not about the dollar signs. That has been my challenge. So I was just wondering if you had any words, or either one of you both, inspirational words or some advice, thinking about branching off, but, you know, starting my own business, but of course I'm nervous.
Well, first thing, congratulations and continue the good work. And, continue to consult God. But, you know, there's no field on this planet where you can't interject God. Okay. There are a lot of legal things, but there's a way you can do it. I used to be a teacher. I'm a retired teacher. But I taught English, and so the Bible can be used as literature. So in every one of my classes, we did a study on scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I would talk to my students and tell them about it. You know, I mean, you can't proselyte, but if you faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God, and so you don't have to preach to your clients. You don't have to preach to them. You just mm-hmm. tell them, well, here's something I want to read this to you. And you just read the scripture. And God is going to honor his word. And you don't have to say anything about it. Or I used to hand text to somebody, you read this. How do you understand? And let them initiate any conversation. And that legally covers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you just have to kind of, but you got to know the scripture so you can know where to kind of point them to. But see, God changes hearts. See, that's another thing that we do wrong in the church. We think we can change folk. We can't change people. Only people must be born again. And it's impossible to be born again unless you're born again by the Spirit of God. And so you can get people. And that's why I don't do altar calls. I'll do a closing prayer, but I don't do altar calls because it's not me to invite people to Christ. I just teach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit draws folk. That's a God thing. We just have to be faithful in doing our thing, and then God let God do his thing. I think one thing we do is we get so busy, we want to be God. And we try to be God, and then God, we put God in a box, and then it was like, if he do anything different, then we don't believe it's God. So I don't do altar call. I see no scripture, place in the scripture where an altar call is called for. You know, you just preach the word. You just preach the word. You just teach the word. And if it's God's word, not your word, if you're preaching scripture, then the Holy Spirit takes that. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces people. And so in your assignment, be careful. You don't have to change folks.
Okay.
Take them to the one who can change folks. And that is Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? But keep praying.
Okay. And I think I will. Thank you for that. And I think that, you know, the company that I just left, they don't want any type of spiritual component. That's the issue I had. And I didn't feel like I could even just talk about it. Just talk about God. I felt like I couldn't even do that really, you know. Just a lot of restrictions.
But you said you were leaving. You had left.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That could be God moving.
Okay.
You know, see it that way. You have to understand, if you heard the song that Minister Hubbard played, God is sovereign. And we don't talk enough about God's sovereignty.
Mm.
We actually give credence to people having a free will. But if my free will overrules God's sovereignty, then why am I preaching God?
Mm.
You understand? And so
yeah.
my will, just like human rights, your rights end when it gets to my nose. And so my rights end when it gets to contact with God. And then God, being sovereign, overrules everything. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so you just have to kind of trust God and try to learn his heart, spend more time with him in prayer and study his scripture, learn his heart, and then he'll lead you and guide you.
Okay.
If you don't understand his leading, then just say, just I was talking this morning, I said, one of the problems is it ain't that God ain't talking, it's just we ain't listening.
We're not listening. Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
thank
so,
you.
So,
thank
get
you.
In the place. Yeah, get in the place where you can actually spend time listening to God.
Okay.
And he speaks most often through the scripture. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'll keep listening. I don't want to take too much time. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for that word. I mean, I don't have enough faith. Pat, you took it all, and I appreciate you for it. I just wish I had more time, because I have so many questions to ask you, but we can have like 6 minutes left. But I got you in the air, Pastor. Would you be willing to come back at a later time at your convenience and just give a word to the people?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later on the online. Not in a big question, Sir?
Just let me know when.
Oh, okay, no doubt. Thank you for the caller at 711. Thank you and God's going to work things out for you. Just hold on. You know, I was told the story, that young man was at the edge of a cliff with a rope, and he hears a voice just say, "Let go." And the guy was like, "I can't. If I let go, then I'm going to fall. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to fall to my death. I can't let go." And the voice kept saying to let go and let go. So the voice finally, so the man said, "You know what? Okay, I'm going to let go." And to his surprise, there was a ledge under his feet. God will sustain you. And, you know, I'm just a firm believer that God has sustained me in my own personal issues, with family, friends, school, work, what have you. God was always rapping it, but he just kept telling us, let go. And like you said, Pastor, we don't want to listen because we're too afraid to let God have it.
our biggest problem is we have too much pride.
Yes, sir. Talk about
and the scripture,
it. Yes.
And the scripture says over and over again, God resists the pride. That word resist means God stands in hostile opposition against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, we want proud people don't pray. Proud people don't read scripture. Proud people don't listen to God. Proud people do their own thing their own way, and it may be right to them, but it ain't going to lead them nowhere. And so, message of scripture is humble yourself before God and he'll exalt you.
Okay. Well, that is about the end of my broadcast. I want to thank you both for having me on the air. This has been your host, Mr. Aaron Daniel Hubbard, coming to you live from Speaking My Night Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. And until God says the same, I will see you and you and you and you and you one more again. Amen. Thank y'all both. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right, you too.
All right.